Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
All together, please. Om Ajnana Tamarandasya Ganandana Salakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhisam Savidam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapatantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yukta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrijatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Sarvadutam Prajana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamsha He Krishna Karana Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Govika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tarcha Kanjana Gaurange Radhe Brinda Hanishpari Prishabana Sudadehi Pranamame Hari Priye Panchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Padidhanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasani Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare So, reading from Srimad Bhikkhu Upanishad, chapter 3, Karma Yoga, text number 29. Correct?
Yes.
So, please repeat.
Prakriter
Guna Samudha Sanjante Guna Karmishu Tan Akrishna Vidho Madhan Krishna Vin Na Vichalayat Prakrite Guna Sambuddha Sanjante Karma Guna Karmishu Tamma Krishna Vido Madhan Krishna Vinna Vichalayat Prakrite Guna Sammudha Sajjante Guna Karmishu Tamma Krishna Vido Madhan Krishna Vinna Vichalayat Prakrite Guna Sammudha Sajjante Guna Karmishu Tan Akrishna Vido Madhan Krishna Vinna Vichalayat
Prakita Guna Samudra Sachante Guna Karmesu
Prakriti Guna Samudra Sanjante Guna Karmishu
Tana Krishna
Vino Manda
Krishna Vina Vichalaye
So, please repeat. ye.
Ye.
Those who may, my, matam, injections, idam, these, nityam, as an eternal function, anutistanti. Oh, sorry, wrong one.
No, this one, no.
No, the... Yeah, don't worry, I'm testing if you're paying attention. I'm very glad to see that everyone's paying attention. So, please repeat. Prakrite. Of material nature.
Of material nature.
Guna.
Guna.
By the modes.
By the modes.
Sambuddha.
Sambuddha.
Befooled.
Befooled.
By material identification.
By material identification.
Sajjante.
Sajjante.
They become engaged.
They become engaged.
Guna karmishu.
Guna karmishu.
In material activities.
In material activities.
Tan.
Those.
A Krishna Vida.
A Krishna Vida.
Persons with a poor fund of knowledge.
Persons with a poor fund of knowledge.
Madhan.
Madhan.
Lazy to understand.
Lazy to understand.
Self-realization. Krishna Vida. One who is in factual knowledge.
One who is in factual knowledge.
Na.
Na.
Not.
Na.
Vichalayet.
Vichalayet.
Should try to agitate.
Should try to agitate.
Translation, Srila Prabhupada. Bewildered by the modes of material nature, the ignorant fully engage themselves in material activities and become attached. But the wise should not unsettle them, although these duties are inferior due to the performer's lack of knowledge. Please repeat. Bewildered by the modes of material nature.
Bewildered by the modes of material nature.
The ignorant fully engage themselves.
The ignorant fully engage themselves.
In material activities.
In material activities.
And become attached.
And become attached.
But the wise.
But the wise.
Should not unsettle them.
Should not unsettle them.
Although these duties,
although these duties
are inferior,
are inferior
due to the performers,
due to the performers
lack of knowledge,
lack of knowledge.
Purport Srila Prabhupada. Persons who are unknowledgeable falsely identify with gross material consciousness and are full of material designations. This body is a gift of the material nature, and one who is too much attached to the bodily consciousness is called manda, or a lazy person without understanding of spirit soul. Ignorant men think of the body as the self. They accept bodily connections with others as kinsmanship. The land in which the body is obtained is their object of worship, and they consider the formalities of religious rituals to be ends in themselves. Social work, nationalism, and altruism are some of the activities for such materially designated persons. Under the spell of such designations, they are always busy in the material field. For them, spiritual realization is a myth, and so they are not interested. Those who are enlightened in spiritual life, however, should not try to agitate such materially engrossed persons. Better to prosecute one's own spiritual activities silently. Such bewildered persons may be engaged in such primary moral principles of life as non-violence and similar materially benevolent work. Men who are ignorant cannot appreciate activities in Krishna consciousness, and therefore Lord Krishna advises us not to disturb them and simply waste valuable time. But the devotees of the Lord are more kind than the Lord because they understand the purpose of the Lord. Consequently, they undertake all kinds of risks even to the point of approaching ignorant men to try and engage them in acts of Krishna consciousness, which are absolutely necessary for the human being. Mukam karoti vachalam pangam laite grim yat pipatamam bande sri guru vinatarinam prakrite guna sambuddha sanjante guna karnishu tan akrishna vidoma dhatna krishna vidna vicharayat. Bewildered by the modes of material nature, the ignorant fully engage themselves in material activities and become attached. But the wise should not unsettle them, although these duties are inferior due to the performer's lack of knowledge. Yes. So, Krishna, from verse 25 until this final verse, can you put more volume on the mic? He's continuing his explanation, that's too much, of the materially engrossed person. Just a little, that's fine now, that's fine. In the beginning of the chapter, Krishna's explained, now Junior, you must perform your prescribed duties. But the best way to do that is not for fruitive result, that will bind you to material reaction. We've discussed this a lot in previous verses. Better to perform them for Krishna. That is transcendental life, the beginning. That is the science of connection to the Supreme. To perform your duties for Krishna. That is the beginning. Of course, in the higher stages, one reduces all material activities very much less, nivritti marg, and one will become absorbed in meditation on the transcendental abode. And one then will qualify to enter that abode. But in the beginning, while we still have this material body and this material conditioning through the modes of material nature, through our reciprocation with material energy, as a result we have a certain mentality and a certain body. So then we should begin our transcendental realization by engaging our propensities, mental and physical, in the service of Krishna. So that is the knowledge that Krishna is giving to Arjuna. However, Krishna at the same time, from that verse 25, is explaining to Arjuna the mentality of those who do not understand this way of transcendence, who only want to perform their material activities generally just for fruitive results, just for some selfish benefit, even though, and Prabhupada here in the purport explains, they may be altruistic, they may worship their land of their birth, they have a sense of duty to their community, but ultimately this is all material. They're not dedicating their activities to the Supreme Proprietor, the Supreme Creator. So they're bewildered. So we'll recap on Krishna's description, verse 25. As the ignorant perform their duties with attachment to results, that's the ignorant, right? They're performing their material duties, but they want to get them fruit. They want some punya, they want some result that they can enjoy. The learned may similarly act, but without attachment. You see, Krishna's contrasting. for the sake of leading people on the right path. So, though Krishna is explaining the materially attached people, he's making sure that Arjuna should also have a sense of duty to them also, to lead them on the right path. Because actually he is the leader of society, and all devotees give example by their devotional behavior, and they should be conscious of that duty. 26. So as not to disrupt the mind of ignorant men attached to fruitive results of prescribed duties, a learned person should not induce them to stop work. So he's talking about this point again. Okay, they're ignorant, but don't tell them to stop doing their work. Rather, by working in the spirit of devotion, he should engage them in all sorts of activities for the gradual development of Krishna consciousness. So they should be engaged in their duties, but they should be taught. Don't perform them for your own purposes, but perform them as yajna, as sacrifice, as dedication to the Supreme. The spirit soul, bewildered by the influence of false ego. What is false ego? Two divisions. Aham mameti, I and mine. I think that I am this material body and mind. I identify. I forget my spiritual identity. And then mine, mameti. Those things in relationship to the body, I claim them as my own. My wife, my house, my land, my country, my duties. But actually, the Supreme Creator is the proprietor. He's the creator. He's the proprietor of the spirit soul. He's the owner of everything. That's in the Ishupanishad, right? Om Sar, what's that first verse? Isya Vasya Idam Sarvam Yat Kinchat Jagadam Jagat Tena Taktena Bunjita Magridaha Kashasvikdanam. Everything in the creation is controlled and owned by the Supreme Lord. Therefore, one should only claim those things that what is necessary for one's upkeep and not claim the property of others. So, yes, we should recognize that everything is controlled and owned. Parameshwara. So, the false ego person thinks, no, I am the controller and enjoyer. Thinks himself the doer of activities which are in actuality carried out by three modes of material nature. So this is a very subtle point. Many people have difficulty with this because they identikartaham iti manit. I am the doer. And therefore, as the doer, I am the cause. And therefore, I can claim the effect. This is the three divisions. Mode of goodness is the illusion that I am the doer. Mode of passion is I am the cause. And the mode of ignorance is, I deserve the effect. These are three stages. They are initially manifest within the Mahatattva, with the glance of Mahavishnu upon the material energy. The Mahatattva is created, and then the first element, Mah, of ignorance, the Ahankara, manifests in these three phases. The Karta, the doer, the cause, the Karana, and the effect. Goodness, passion, and ignorance. So, we think, I am the performer of this activity. My hand goes up and down, side to side, because I am doing it. But actually, no. The living entity is transcendental to the material nature. This is very subtle, but this is the actual science. And the Paramatma is understanding. Oh, he wants to raise his hand up and down. And then, sending that impetus to the demigods, and the demigods are working the material body. But through false ego, we think we are the working of the material body. Particularly this is being reinforced nowadays, because people are being told, you are just the chemicals in your body. Somehow or other, they are creating a chemical reaction, and therefore you are conscious. And that consciousness has the quality of self-awareness. We're not only aware of our self, but we are aware of our external environment. So consciousness means that, self-awareness, internal and external. But under the influence of material illusion, we think that we are doing everything. Whereas actually we are just desiring, and through the medium of the Paramatma and the Supersoul, and the Supersoul and the demigods, our material body is being worked. Sometimes the material body is damaged and we still desire, but we cannot move our arm. So the living entity thinks he is doing everything, but actually the material nature, under the direction of Paramatma and the Devatas, are responding to his desire. Actuality carried out by the three modes of material nature. One who is in knowledge of the Absolute Truth, O Arjuna, does not engage himself in the senses and sense gratification, knowing well the differences between working devotion and work for fruitive result. So when Krishna, the translation here says, does not engage himself in sense enjoyment, that means it's not his goal. Of course he's going to engage the senses in his devotional activity, but his goal is to satisfy the senses of Krishna. What is that verse? Sava upadivinir muktam tat paratrena niyamalam rishikesha rishikena sevanam bhakti ujjate. Free of all material designations, sava upadi vinir muktam, liberated from them. Tat paratrena niyamalam. That is pure bhakti, that is pure consciousness. You're no longer identifying with this material body and mind. And what are you doing then? What is your activity? Rishikesha Rishikena. You're using the senses in the master of the senses, in his pleasure. You're becoming the servant of Krishna's senses, just like in the transcendental world. The devotees, they are very attentive to the pleasure and service of the Supreme Lord and their fellow devotees. And they serve Krishna in this way. And if we read the Bhagavatam, 10th canto, we see this. Krishna, the gopis, the cowherd boys, the elder residents of Vrindavan, they're all being very attentive to Krishna. And Krishna is attentive to them. So Rishikesh is the proprietor of this body. He is the creator, like we say, Ishupanishad. The Supreme Lord is the controller and owner of everything material and spiritual. So when Krishna is saying, the wise do not engage in sense enjoyment, that means that they do not use the material body in a selfish way, for their own ends. They do not engage in activities so that they can get some fruit that they can personally enjoy. No, rather, under the direction of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, they learn the art of pleasing Krishna and Krishna's devotees. Rishikesha, Rishikena. Sevanam bhakti at uchite. That is bhakti. So bhakti is active. It is using one's abilities, one's desire, to serve Krishna. Whereas the material world, we are bahirmukh, we are turned away from Krishna, and we think, I'll use my senses and body for my own pleasure. So this is the ignorant, the oblivious to the position of the Supreme Lord and the Supreme Lord's devotees. And just like animals roaming in the street or the field or the trees, they're only concerned with their own enjoyment. So here Krishna is telling Arjuna, and we're coming to this verse now, 29, bewildered by the modes of material nature, the ignorant fully engage themselves in material activities and become attached. So that's the materially ignorant people. They have no conception of the Supreme Lord. They have no conception of the right focus of their activities. They're simply ignorant. What, ignoring the Supreme Lord, that is the root of ignorance. And then they become attached. They become attached to the fruit. This is part of the ignorance. They're not performing activities and finding satisfaction in the activities themselves as a yajna. Just like at Namisharanya, at the beginning of the Bhagavatam, it starts and they address Sonaka, Suta Goswami, that we're all gathered here in Namisharanya to hear the glories of Krishna and in this way perform sacrifice. So just by hearing, they're not looking for any fruit from the sacrifice. Just by hearing, they want to perform yajna. They are using their hearing sense and their intelligence, their consciousness, to hear the leela of Krishna. This is the beginning of Kali Yuga. Krishna has just left. So they're asking, we want to hear about the activities of the Supreme Lord. Krishna was on the earth 125 years. So now he's gone to his own abode. Where is religion, knowledge, and all these things? You please tell us. And this is our sacrifice. So in the devotional mentality, there's not the reaching out. This is called chag. There's renunciation of this fruitive result. And the activity in itself is sufficient. So we go, we hear Bhagavad Gita now. We're not thinking I'll get some result. No, we're just performing yajna for the satisfaction of Krishna. When we go to Bhagavatam class, Gita class, when we go to the kirtan, we're performing yajna. If we have the devotional understanding, we're using our senses in relationship to Krishna. By hearing, Krishna is worshipped. Later on in the Gita, Krishna says, one who worships this sacred conversation between me and Arjuna worships by his intelligence. So when we read the Shastra, the Vedic knowledge, coming in parampara, that in itself is bhajan. So this is hearing this discussion we are having about Gita, that is not about devotional service. It is devotional service. It is shravanam, kirtanam, shravanam. It is hearing about Krishna, and by coming to class and hearing, you are performing bhajan, you're performing yajna, you're performing sacrifice. And the devotional mentality is that in itself is self-enclosed, self-sufficient. But the materialist will always be performing some work, some fruitive idea to get some fruit in the future, some dhanam, janam, sundaram, some wealth, whatever. Just like Krishna explains later in the Gita, he says, when he's describing the ignorant demoniac mentality, so much wealth do I have today, and I will get more according to my plans. He is my enemy, and I will kill him. He is my enemy, and I have killed him. There is none so powerful and as wonderful as me. I will give in charity. I will be surrounded by aristocratic relatives, and in this way I will rejoice. So they're always thinking that they will attain some opulence and power and position in the material world. And they're performing activities, even murder, right? He is my enemy and I will kill him, right? They're ready to go to war for their own selfish purposes. But the devotee doesn't think like that. He's Atmaram. Because he's feeling the presence of Krishna in his own heart, and he's realizing the transcendental world, and the transcendental world is devoid of this conception of I am the doer, I am the cause, and then I deserve the effect. This is the ignorance of the material modes, goodness, passion and ignorance. I am the doer, I am the doer as this body. I am the cause of these activities, my wonderful intelligence and ability, and therefore I deserve the fruit. So he's always exerting his own ego, false ego. This is the bewilderment of the modes of material nature. But the devotee doesn't think like that. He thinks, let me perform my activities for Krishna. Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe Yukta Vairagya Sauchite. And by hearing, that is in itself the fruit. That is the fruit. I go to the kirtan for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. Just like a good servant of the king, all his activities are for the king. A good mother, all her activities are for the child. She gives up sleep in the middle of the night. The child is calling, but she still serves the child. She doesn't put the child in the corner and say, let me go back to sleep. She attends to the child. So this is material example, but the devotional mentality compels the devotee in that way to be always attentive to the service of Krishna. And that in itself is self-sufficient. That is the new satisfaction of the devotee. And so Krishna explains that here. We did 29, right? So now, that was the verse, right? We'll repeat 29. Bewildered by the modes of material nature, the ignorant fully engage themselves in material activities and become attached. But the wise should not unsettle them, although these duties are inferior to the performer's lack of knowledge. And then Krishna moves on to the devotional idea in verse 30. Therefore, Arjuna, surrendering all your works unto me, with full knowledge of me, without desire for profit, right, without desire for the fruit, and no claims to proprietorship, everything is controlled and owned by Krishna, and free from lethargy, in our verse today, manda, the word was there, mandam, lazy to understand self-realization, and free from lethargy, fight. So you can see, Krishna is bringing Arjuna to the position that even you can fight. We're talking about the sages in Amisharanya. They were performing yajna by hearing about Krishna. But Arjuna here is being told to fight. So this science of performing all one's activities and duties, as surrendering them to the Supreme Lord, this is applicable to all activities. Of course, the ignorant, they're always inventing activities beyond the scope of Krishna consciousness, outside, like genetic, now this, that everyone's being poisoned by, what is it, GMO, genetically modified organisms. Right? They think that they'll improve the cotton, or they'll make a better eggplant, or they'll make a tomato that will sit on the shelf in the supermarket for 3 years and not go bad. I think this is the apex of human endeavor. But actually, GMO should mean give me organic. We don't need. We prefer the genetic arrangement of Lord Brahma. If you mess with the genetic code, then this will be even of a tomato or brinjal or cotton. This will not, these genetic code within the fish, the animal, the trees, the tomato, these all harmonious. So this is all under the supervision of Lord Brahma. So if you take the tomato, a natural tomato, it will harmonize with your body. But if that is genetically bastardized, ruined, twisted, and it will enter and it will not harmonize with the genetic code in your cells. So there will be some disharmonious action, and it will cause cancer, sterility. So, and then now they're also trying to modify the weather, chemtrails, spraying chemicals in the atmosphere, trying to affect the ionosphere with electrostatic energy. They're doing any damn thing they think. And it is all for business purpose and power and control. So this modern technology is just like if you let children play with a gun, it's a very dangerous situation. And later we'll see, Krishna explains that these ignorant demoniac people, they do not know what is to be done and what should not be done. They do not understand that there's already a perfect harmonious arrangement within the universe. But they tell them, oh, there's too many people, there's too much population, the world is polluted. But it's not the world that's polluting, it is the business corporations. We've talked about this many times, right? But you don't hear, oh, there's too many corporations making the atmosphere polluted. We don't hear, there's too many factories dumping rubbish in the river as if it's their own personal toilet. No, it's always blamed on there's too much population. No, there's too many corporations ruining the environment without any morality. They do not know what is to be done, what is not to be done. So without Krishna consciousness, as we just read there, in full knowledge of me, these people cannot understand what is to be done and what is not to be done. So there's that verse there. What is that? Yomam evam asamudho janati purushottama sasavavid bhajate mam savabhavena bharata. One who knows me as the Supreme Person without doubting is understood to be the knower of everything. And then he engages in my devotional service, such a person is the knower of everything. So how is it possible to know everything? What it means is that he is enlightened. He's not under the material energy. He's not under the illusory conceptions given by the material energy. Rather, because he's on the transcendental platform, he's understanding, cognizing everything perfectly. In the material, the ignorant people, everything they think and do is based on illusion. The mistake of bodily identification, and I am the doer, I am the cause, and I deserve the effect. But the spiritual person, he's transcendental to the material energy. So Satchit Ananda, the soul is Satchit. What does Chit mean? It means he's cognizant, he's self-aware. So in the material world, the Chit aspect of the soul is covered by illusion, ahankara. So everyone, this is what Krishna is doing here, he's warning Arjuna that these ignorant people, if you remember in today's purport, Prabhupada says, don't disturb them. Better to do your spiritual activities. Silently, Prabhupada did. Don't disturb the minds of the ignorant. Because these people, they're all in illusion. They cannot understand. What is obvious to the transcendental soul is completely oblivious to the materially conditioned. The transcendental soul is situated within realization of Krishna, transcendence. Therefore, his understanding, his consciousness is free of illusion. This is the meaning of sasavabhid bhajatima. He knows everything. Sarvabhavena bharata. Whereas the materially conditioned, under the illusory energy, he doesn't know anything. Everything he thinks is illusion. The material person is in illusion morning, day and night. So if you speak to these people and say, hey, why are you working like a donkey? Why don't you chant Hare Krishna? Why don't you give up your sinful activities? Who is this? Sometimes they'll become very disturbed. So Krishna is saying here to Arjuna, better to encourage them in works of devotion. And Prabhupada in the purport, if you remember, he said, engage such people in morally beneficial work. Something that is morally righteous, materially good. Engage them in charity. Instead of becoming a thief and a criminal and a gunda, perform some charity. Encourage them in this way. But most of all, be a devotee yourself for the sake of leading people on the right path, you see. So in this section, Krishna is giving Arjuna, and thereby us, much instruction how to deal with the materially conditioned. But then Prabhupada, if you remember at the end, he says, the devotee is more kind than the Lord because he understands the purpose of the Lord. So what does that mean? Well, Krishna says, don't disturb them. Carry on with your own work, Arjuna. Just try to help them morally. Don't agitate them. They can be a bit dangerous. You know, if you stand on the tail of a snake, he may poison you. Just like Jai and Vijay, right? Lord Nityananda and Haridas Thakur, they used to go preaching together. Have you read Chaitanya Bhagavat? You should read that. It's a great book. So one day they went to Jayan Vijay, Jagai Madai, sorry. And They were from the Brahmin caste, but they were far from Brahmins. They were drunkards and rapists and thieves and rogues. And of course, Lord Nityananda, Baladev, give up this activity of foolishness. Put everything aside and chant the holy name. So they rose out of their intoxication and they started to want to beat Nityananda and Haridas Thakur. They were running off. And so there's a very funny section there in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. And they're running and they're kind of laughing, and Thakur Haridas is saying, he's saying, this is the result of going preaching with a madman. He said to Haridas Thakur, he says, never mind, it's good fun. Let's go and jump in the Ganga and wrestle with the crocodiles. So, you can read that section there. And every day they would give a report to Lord Chaitanya, but Haridas wouldn't speak, and Lord Nityananda would tell them. So in this way, it's illustrated, it's a little, if you are a devotee and you preach a pure lifestyle and dedication to Krishna, to the materially engrossed, some may become very, very angry. But Prabhupada says, but the devotee makes all kind of plans. He knows Krishna says, look, leave them alone. But he knows what Krishna really wants, particularly Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda. He wants them liberated. So the devotee, understanding the heart of the Lord, he makes all sorts of plans. Therefore, Prabhupada trained us all. We used to go on 5 hours Harinam every day and book distribution. In the old days. Why? That's right, we used to have little packets of halva and sweets, and some people would be chanting and some would be selling back to Godhead, some would be giving sweets. So now, of course, if you go down in England, they go down in a big Harinam from the Soho Street Temple down to the entertainment area. And everyone, you know, I've been there when I was last in England, the pubs, the people spill out of the pub at night, drinking, you know. And as the devotee kirtan party comes by, they all go, oh, Hare Krishna! Yes, they do like that, and they start dancing with their glass of beer. So, this is the right. So, there's so many Jagai and Madais, but by hearing the holy name, they become purified every Saturday night. They go to the pub and listen to the Hare Krishna's chanting. So the devotees, they make all sorts of plans. Rathiyatra, street kirtan, prasadam distribution, book distribution, so that people can get some touch. And once people get a little touch, then they appreciate. And so you see now in the West, when we joined, right? Nobody knew, we had never heard the word guru, mantra, yoga, right?
Karma,
meditation, transcendental. These words just weren't in the vocabulary, but now everybody uses them, right? When I go and visit my mother and the family, they all know about karma and transcendental. Ooh, that's bad karma, don't do that. So this is spreading the knowledge of Krishna consciousness. And this is how societies grow. If you look, what is a Buddhist society? The central core is the story of Buddha. And from that story of Buddha, they get their ideas, their social institutions, right? And then Christian society, they have so many interpretations, but they have the story of Jesus, and from that, Jesus was healing the sick, he was kind to the outcast of society, he was ready to sacrifice himself. So from that story, a whole society develops. He kicked the money makers out of the temple. So in this way, and now what we are doing is, we are actually just spreading the story of Krishna. You might think, how will Krishna consciousness spread? By just spreading the story of Krishna, the Mahabharata, the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and these ideas, then they become the center, just like in ISKCON, right? The center of our society is the Bhagavatam, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the teachings of Prabhupada, and from that we draw our social institutions and so on, and then we spread that out. So really, societies are all based on a particular story from which they draw their sustenance. So if you understand that, then you can understand Prabhupada and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, how they emphasize book distribution. By giving people the knowledge of Krishna, then they absorb the values in that story. And that becomes the central core of a society. Right? Just like in India, actually, still to some extent, right? The society is built on the story of Lord Ramchandra, the Vedas, Krishna. Of course, now this atheistic materialism of the West is coming, but it's not really coming to India. Because the temples are open, people are explaining what the Bhagavatam is, what is Krishna consciousness, how to live purely. So really, you can understand how Krishna consciousness can create and purify society all over the world. So if we understand in that way, we can understand how Krishna consciousness can propagate. And therefore Krishna, he told everyone, right? What is that verse? Yari deke tara kaha Krishna upadesh amara agyaya guru tara eidesh. Whoever you meet, wherever you go, you tell them about Krishna. And in this way become a guru and liberate everyone. So this is our system. We don't need an army. We just need book distribution and a chance to explain Krishna consciousness. And what the story of Krishna, and what, how does Prabhupada translate the Srimad Bhagavatam? He translates it as the beautiful story of the Supreme Person, right? Of Bhagavan. So you come in our temple and you see Radha and Krishna covered in flowers or chandan. Soon is chandan yatra. How many days?
Second of May.
Yes, a little bit. So another week they're making the chandan. So the story of Krishna is the story of the all-attractive personality of Godhead. This knowledge is the most satisfying. The Leela of Krishna is the most nectarine. The story of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, the Chaitanya Bhagavan, the Vedanta Sutra, the Satsandarbhas. There's no comparison in the world. The philosophy and knowledge and logic. So we just have to present it. And this is what Prabhupada is saying. Krishna may be saying, don't disrupt their minds. So that's advisory. Yes, go softly, softly. But at the same time, give them some knowledge, give them some contact with Krishna. Because everyone is a devotee. Everyone is a devotee. But they're covered by this material illusion. I'm the doer, I'm the cause, I'm the effect. And they don't have this conception of performing everything for the satisfaction of Krishna through devotional mentality, which is natural in the soul. They're in this restricted state. This is the word Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur uses in Chaitanya Shikshamrita. Restricted, covered consciousness. Right? Later on, we won't get into it today, but Arjuna asked Krishna, okay, well, why do these ignorant people, bewildered people, why do they act in this way? Why don't they just take to Krishna consciousness? So Krishna says it's because of karma asha, krodha asha, rajaguna. They're covered. Their consciousness is covered. That's the word. The consciousness is covered. Just like you have a seed, you cover it, cannot grow. But if you sprinkle water and the season is right, the seed will grow. So if you give some nectar of Krishna consciousness, then bhakti will sprout. It's there. Nitya Siddha Bhavasya. It's eternally established within every spirit soul. But it has to be awoken, that's all. Right? An example in Nectar of Devotion is Rupa Goswami says, the ability of a child to walk is there. Right? You don't actually teach a child to walk, you help the child to manifest his ability to walk. Right? So the guru, the teacher, the devotees, they're actually helping people to awaken up to their own spiritual nature. The bogus gurus say, I am giving prema, I am giving swarup. That's nonsense. It's all there within the soul, perfect and complete. So the devotees, they know if they take some prasad, they hear some kirtan, they read some shastra, then it becomes springtime for the soul. So that is the plan of Krishna. But at the same time, we continue with our own devotional practice and make progress in that way. So we'll finish on that point. Srila Prabhupada, Bhagavad Gita, Sadhu Sangha ki. Yeah.